Welcome to After Six. David Stemmerman, former candidate for governor on the Republican side of things. You remember him. He comes and joins us once in a while. We're going to talk with David now about what he's up to, what he's observing, and get his assessment of where the state's at. So, David, thank you for joining us once again on WTIC.
Todd, it's great to be with you.
Well, let's start at the current moment, where we stand right now. Give us your assessment of where Ned stands.
Well, I, as you know, ran an investment business for a lot of years, and one of the things that I like to do was to look at numbers and to see, there are two things that we really tracked on a regular basis is, are we making money or are we losing money? And how are we doing relative to other choices for people who could manage your money? And for the state of Connecticut, we got a measure of that just a few weeks ago of looking at what's happening to dollars of income for people who are moving between states. And with all the different ways of assessing how you're doing, this one seems very objective and very quantitative.
Why is that? What does that tell us, that number? Why is that important?
So what it's telling us is in this country, you're free to move with your feet. And if you like what's going on in a state, you can move there. And if you don't like what's going on, you can leave. And this measure tracks not just people, but dollars. And so it shows it's a great measure for how people are finding some states more attractive and others less attractive.
All right, so it's kind of a macro. It's more complete than just looking at who's moving out or you know, and the rankings on how many people are leaving each state. This is showing the transfer of money from one place to the next, which shows where what businesses are up to and what people are up to both.
Exactly. And it has huge implications for our quality of life and the future for our state, because the best way, as we all know, for a better quality of life is growth. Growth and opportunity. You have more people, more businesses. You can do more things. And shrinking is exactly the opposite. It's a disaster.
All right. And so tell us about this transfer number between states. How did Connecticut do? Is it number one with incoming money?
It is exactly the opposite. It is on a score of 1 to 50, it's dead last 50th.
Wow.
And so pretty frightening.
That's horrifying.
And it is absolutely petrifying. And the number is so bad, in 1 year, Connecticut lost over 1.5% of its whole state's income. So if you think about that, over a period of 20 years, if you kept this going, you'd be down 30%.
You know, you're a businessman, and you look at numbers all the time. What would you say about a business that was in an industry maybe with 50 competitors all fighting for the money, and you were coming in last in the economic activity department? What would that say to you about what needs to happen to management?
You need to change your management, you need to change your strategy, and you better do something very, very different, or you're going to go out of business. And one of the things that was interesting is I got another chart. One of the things I loved in the investment business is looking at maps, charts. So I got another chart that shows, this is work from J.P. Morgan, that shows what percentage of your budget would go to your unfunded retirement liabilities if you were honest about how much they cost and you paid for them. And so one of the things I find is, so this map of who's doing worst.
Wait, hang on a sec.
Oh,
this new one you're talking about, this is somebody went into each state and evaluated what the honest situation was with their unfunded liabilities?
They did. So this was actually done at the urging of Jamie Dimon, who's the CEO of J.P. Morgan. This is basically the one big bank that made it through the financial crisis intact and continues to increase shareholder value. And he said, you know, I have a little bit of a reputation as a result, and so let's put together a deck of numbers of what's going on in this country and what the problem are, what the problems are. And so one of the charts and shows you looking at all the 50 states and which states have this problem.
Oh, so I can't even pretend to guess that Connecticut's in the best shape on this one. How did it turn out?
So Connecticut, at least we're not 50, but in this one we're 46.
Well, and that's an improvement over other assessments of.
Yeah, I think for transportation infrastructure, I think we're 48th. For income, we're 50th, and here we're only 46th.
Explain what that means, because in the normal world, again, I think my assumption is that in business, there's one set of books. And if you have to report to your shareholders, for example, I'm making a parallel between shareholders and people, the citizens of the state of Connecticut.
Yeah.
That if you were reporting to your citizens, your stockholders in business, you'd be reporting one number that meant exactly what you said it meant, and there weren't any other budgets where some of this money was hidden that needed to have Jamie Dimon come in and assess it for you.
Yeah, so this was the businesses were actually playing the same game of just paying for retirement benefits, whatever they wanted, and not accounting for it. And then we had a group called the Financial Accounting Standards Board put out a pronouncement, and I was early in my investment career, and they came out with something called FASB 106. And what they said is that you have to show on your books what is the true cost for funding these benefits. And that was in the early 90s. And you had a tremendous reaction in financial markets. As Warren Buffett would say, when the tide goes out, you find out who's not wearing a swimsuit. And so you found a whole bunch of businesses not wearing their swimsuit. And you saw this big change over the last 20 to 30 years, so that these companies now have honestly prepared for retirement. And part of that
now
has
this
been
followed,
moving to, yeah.
I'm sorry, David. This followed a period of time where there were some surprise bankruptcies, effectively, of unfunded liabilities when companies went under or changed hands or what have you. And it turned out there wasn't money to back up what had been promised to workers. And a lot of workers, Polaroid stands out to me, as a company where you know, it was just gone and there was no money to pay these obligations.
On this topic, as many, your range of knowledge is outstanding. That's quite good, Todd. Yes, that's back in Massachusetts, Polaroid. It was quite a disastrous situation, and it would have been many, many more companies if they hadn't been told they need to show people what the real numbers
are. Now, I'm just curious. This is an aside, but this thing that you referred to, this decision by some entity, what is that entity? Was this like an association that of accounting practices or something that everybody signs on to, or was it a government regulation?
So this is the accounting profession has puts together this group that then puts out these pronouncements, and those pronouncements are what guide financial reporting for businesses and
so accountants. Then I just want to dig into it because I want to figure out how we get a parallel. What could we do to make government vaguely as responsible to its shareholders as the corporate or the evil corporations do? And I'm just curious, what compels this cause and effect of this group issuing a standard and businesses following it?
Yeah, well, in this case, you likened back with your analogy of individuals and shareholders, is that ultimately shareholders who owned parts of these businesses felt it was important for them to have accurate information to decide what to do. And what has been missing is the people, the taxpayers, not only insisting on this information, but doing something about it. And so there is now in the public sector, there is they do this work to you can now calculate this information, which is how J.P. Morgan was able to do it. But the difference now in the public sector, so that was 30 years ago when they said you need to tell us what the numbers are. But then more recently they said, and you need to get it to be highly funded or in a path to being highly funded in a short period of time.
So there's a threshold.
There's a threshold.
Okay.
And it says you need to be funded at least 80% either today or within a reasonable period of time. Is you're viewed to be bankrupt, and you need to be sent to restructuring, to change your plan, to change the whole thing. And for government, there's no similar requirement of saying if you're only funded as the state of Connecticut is at 30%, there's no requirement that you actually do something about it.
We're talking to David Stemmerman on After Six. He ran for governor last time around on the Republican side, and he stays in touch, tells us what he's thinking about. So I assume even though government has no such rules that it actually report accurately to its citizens how big of a hidden hole it's creating with its most important obligation, and that is to take care of its partners in public sector unions, I've been hearing my whole life from Democrats how they're the good government people, and I assume the Democratic Party has a rule similar to this that compels its members who are holding government positions to make sure that they're running government to a standard as high as business does. So tell us that, please, that's going on in Connecticut, right?
All I can do is laugh. I mean, is the standards that that our elected officials hold themselves to is what's going to give them the best chance of winning the next election, and telling the truth about what's going on here is I don't think factors at all. And so this is why we are where we are today, where the budget is a colossal mess. One of the promises that the governor made was to give us a balanced budget that was balanced honestly, without gimmicks. And the biggest gimmick that has gone on for years and years and years has been saying, oh, this pension issue, we'll just pay for it in the future because we can't handle it today. And the last time we spoke, that's exactly the same gimmick, the same move that Governor Lamont and the Democratic legislature pulled. They took $9 billion worth of payments due in the next few years that would have blown up the budget, and instead of dealing with it, they handed a $27 billion bill to our children. And if this J.P. Morgan chart were updated, the numbers for Connecticut have just gone in the wrong direction.
So when Ned says he's proud that he's signing an honest budget, what he means is it's honest like a magician is honest with what's going on stage.
Yeah, this issue is so bad that Warren Buffett, who many of you may know, one of the greatest investors of all time, he's called out this issue and said, if you are in a state that has this large unfunded retirement liability, you're basically like in a no-fly zone. This is a place you should not be investing. You should not be if you can avoid it, because these unfunded retirement liabilities are your future tax increases.
So,
and we've seen. Go ahead.
No, you finish.
And so the states that are most egregious in this area are Illinois, New Jersey, and Connecticut. And they are all those are three out of the four that are the worst offenders in what's going on. So in Connecticut, we've just had hundreds of millions of dollars of increase in sales taxes. In New Jersey, you've had increase in income taxes. And Illinois is now trying to pass a constitutional amendment to allow them to raise their income taxes.
So the response everywhere in government when they create fiscal disaster is to not look at spending at all, but to just look at ways to extract more money out of empty vessels, that being their taxpayers.
And that is then linking back to where our conversation began. That's why people are leaving. So if you look at what are the five states in the country on the map that are most red, that are losing a percent or more of their population a year, three out of the four of them are Connecticut, New Jersey, and Illinois. And the taxpayers and the businesses are seeing these massive unfunded retirement liabilities. They're seeing taxes go up now. They're seeing no willingness to take this on. And they have to assume that taxes are going to keep going up. And they say, no, thank you. We're out of here.
All right. So what is the actual number in this report for the total honest liabilities for the state of Connecticut for unfunded pensions and other issues?
So what this, the way that it shows this is rather than a dollar amount, it shows what portion of your budget would you be spending on this if you were spending trying to cover this properly.
Wow.
And the average state spends about 10%, and Connecticut, if it were dealing with this honestly, would be at 35%.
35% of each year's budget would be spent on paying the VIG, basically, the interest on what's owed to unions, to
yeah,
state
so
workers?
This is the amount that's a combination of debt, benefits, and catching up for unfunded benefits.
Okay, so what you need in the current year for each of those items?
Yes, if you put it all together. And that should be about 10% of your budget. And that's what's competitive. And for states that are growing, they're at that number or below. And the states that are hemorrhaging people and income are the ones that are higher. And the scary part of this is that by this metric, Connecticut is currently paying a little over 20%, and it's saying the honest number is about 35.
That's
so
just
we're in a situation today where people are leaving in droves because the taxes have gone from the lowest in the region to the second highest in the country, while our services have cratered. The train that I take to New York City is slower than it was in 1970 because we have not spent on money on basic maintenance, and it's being slowed down so it doesn't derail.
Yeah, that's okay. That's for Fairfield County people. We don't care about that.
I just
want to shift you onto the tolls thing, and we're running out of time. What's your assessment of where the push for tolls is on the part of Democrats?
I think it's pretty much dead. And this is, I'm glad that the governor highlighted the need to upgrade our transportation infrastructure. It's critical for quality of life and for competitiveness. But the way he went about doing it, which is asking the overburdened taxpayers for a blank check of $1 billion a year, was crazy. And he's seen at the ballot box, we had one of these special elections where Gennaro Bizzaro won a district in New Britain that hasn't been won by a Republican for years because of tolls. And so the Senate Democrats who want to keep their headlock on power have said to him, no, thank you.
So you think that that New Britain special election, that was the warning sign that freaked out Democrats and made it impossible to get this through the Senate?
I do. And so this should be for you and your listeners should be very encouraging that being active and being engaged does matter. I know that you and others who are out in a lot of no-tolls rallies and have been vocal about it, you got denigrated by the mainstream press saying, oh, it's only 1,000 people, or, you know, it's only 100,000 signatures. Oh, it's only this, it's only that. Well, what matters to these people is whether they're going to get elected or not. And there was enough agitation about this in New Britain that we elected somebody who I spoke with Senator Bizzaro. He said, I talked about tolls, tolls, and tolls. And his colleagues in the Senate were scared by what happened, And that makes a huge difference. And knowing that you and others are going to keep that story very, very live, I think is the story about why this initiative is going to be defeated.
David Stemmerman, former candidate for governor and still a smart guy. Great to talk with you.
Great to talk with you, too.
That's it for After Six. A quick one today. Our thanks to STEMI, David Stemmerman, for being here. Always fascinating to talk with him. And I will see you tomorrow afternoon at 3. Right now, we go to news and then Red Sox recap on WTIC News Talk 1080.